Hello, everyone, and welcome to Link Ahead, the City of Dublin podcast. I'm Bruce Edwards, digital brand manager for the city.
And I'm Lindsay Weisenauer, the director of communications and public information. And guess what? July is National Parks and Recreation Month. So there's no better time to talk about and really celebrate Dublin's 64 parks and many ways to recreate in Dublin. And for that, we welcome the city's director of parks and recreation, Matt Ehrman. Matt, welcome to Link Ahead.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So glad to have you. And I have to say, I know you and your team work extremely hard, but still, what a fun job. At what point in your life did you realize, hey, I can make a career out of parks and recreation?
You know, As a child, I stayed outside. I mean, I was always doing something outside until I had to come home. And my first job was at a park with the Northern Virginia Regional Park Authority at the age of 15. And as I was working over the years through high school, I realized I wanted to go to college to pursue a career in this field. So I went to Virginia Tech and majored in forestry and wildlife and ended up a full-time employee with the agency. So I spent the next 12 years in a variety of different parks, an incredible amount of experiences that led me here to Dublin, Ohio. I think the traffic in Northern Virginia and the cost of living in Northern Virginia is what brought me here. So, you know, I've been here for 17 years now, and I can't believe, you know, the path of my career led me to this position. It's been unbelievable.
Matt, what's new this summer for residents to enjoy from a Parks and Rec standpoint?
You know, we have a lot of new parks and amenities that came online over the last year. You know, Riverside Crossing Park obviously comes to mind. Right. Mm-hmm. Both sides of the river with the pedestrian bridge. We're not finished with that park, but, you know, that is one of those things that has created an incredible experience for people. And in tandem with that, we also partnered with a kayak company called Sunrise mm-hmm, Kayaking. Mm-hmm. So now we have filled the river with all of these beautiful kayaks that you can see from the bridge as well. Of course, we opened the North Pool last year. Right. That was a huge success. We have an enormous amount of programming and a great team of programmers, and we are always offering new programs every year. So, you know, I can't name them all, but certainly, you know, a lot of our programming is new. And then certainly our pickleball courts right out here.
Yes. Well documented.
They are so popular and, you know, we can't get enough. So,
and I have to say, I just did the Sunrise Kayaking experience, and how phenomenal is that from the booking experience to going out there and getting on the kayak? It was so seamless. It was so easy. Everyone was great to work with, and I got to get out there and kayak under the Dublin Link. It was a lot of fun.
That's great.
So a really exciting effort is underway to update the Parks and Recreation Master Plan, and that serves sort of as a guide to understand the past and assess the present and envision the future. So you are asking for input. What do you and your team hope to learn, and what types of feedback are you getting so far?
Well, the first master plan that we created was created in 2010. So as we looked over the last 10 years, 12 years from now, from then, you know, we've seen a lot of changes. Mm-hmm. We've seen demographic changes. We've seen a leadership change in our city council and city manager. You know, just some of our philosophies have changed. And then certainly COVID hit. So COVID changed all of our worlds, and particularly in the industry of parks and recreation, just because it gave people a sense of, this is what I do now.
Right.
I recreate mm-hmm. and I go to parks. So with all of those changes, we hired a consultant to help lead us down the path. So they're going to take a look at all of our community needs, a lot of the gaps in what we do offer. And in the end, really, it's going to provide us a list of the critical needs that we need as a community, some of the nice to have options that might be available, and then certainly a wish list. Mm-hmm. Right. So everybody has a wish list.
Sure.
And so, you know, we're going to put all of that together. We held our first public meeting on June 29th, had a good turnout for that. Mm-hmm. There will be other opportunities for people to engage, and we will be sending out surveys to certain residents, and then there'll be a public survey available at the end, towards the end of this month, early August.
So you mentioned wish lists and, you know, things that everyone wants to have, and you want to hear all of that, right? So you tell us a little bit more about these surveys and how people can give their input.
Yeah, we will have two series of surveys. It'll be the same questions, but the first series will be a statistically valid survey that is mailed to specific residents demographically representing the community. Once those are complete, then we have a public survey that everybody can access online. If you go to the city's webpage, there is a link directly to that website that you can access the link. It is not available yet, but it will be towards the end of this month. Excellent. And I would like to also add that there is an ability for people to already fill out a form if they have a comment or a suggestion. And there's also an interactive map currently available if you'd like to add something to a specific park, add a comment, and everybody can see your comment, and we will collect those at the end.
Great. So go to DublinOhioUSA.gov.
There's also an effort to refresh the Dublin Community Recreation Center. So what does that look like, and what's the timeline for that project?
You know, the rec center is 26 years old now.
And that's hard to believe.
Yeah.
I mean, that is really hard to believe.
It really is. The way it's served our community has been amazing. We get about 750 people through that building every year. So if you do the math over the 26 years, it's well over 20 million people have been in and out of that building. Mm-hmm. It's quite amazing. So it needs to be updated. Some of the projects we're working on are just repurposing some of the rooms, but we will be taking a larger look at the aesthetic nature of the building to update it, to get it a little bit more modern. So we'll be designing that this year, or starting the design of that this year, in hopes to start some of those projects this year. But most of the projects will end up in 2023.
Well, and I mean, that facility, you guys close it down every year and do a thorough cleaning. I mean, it's not an easy task to have that many people come through and keep a facility top notch like you do. So you guys do an outstanding job.
Thank you. From, you know, the leisure pool to the competition pool, the gymnasium, the track, the fitness area. We have the Tala Community Hall. We have the Abbey Theater, arts and crafts places. You know, there's just so much to do there. We've got a great programming team over there that produces over 1,200 programs every year.
Wow.
Those programs cover all ages, from our preschool youth to teenagers to adults, and then our senior population. And we're always seeking new ideas and ways to come up with new programming and, you know, researching the trends and certainly getting the feedback from the patrons.
So Matt, picking your favorite park is like picking your favorite child. So let's not do that. So let's try it this way. Give us a few of your favorite parks by age. So what's your favorite park for toddlers?
I would have to say all of our neighborhood parks. The neighborhood parks are tucked away in each of the residential neighborhoods. They're easy to access. They're walkable. So getting the toddlers out there is a lot less of a hassle than loading them in a car and take them into a destination.
Okay, how about elementary age kids?
I think it's a tie between our two community pools, the North Pool and the South Pool, mm-hmm. and then the Spray Park at Ballantrae. If you've ever driven by the Spray Park, there's a couple hundred people out there every sure. day on a good day.
How about teenagers? I know they don't like anything, but...
I would say the teenagers, I'll package them into our mostly our soccer youth sports arena. So I'm thinking Avery and Avery Park and Dari Fields. Mm-hmm. And then we all know the teens love Indian Run Falls. And
I love Indian Run Falls. I think everybody
it is right. It is their favorite hangout spot.
And they enjoy it responsibly, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. How about young adults?
Riverside Crossing Park. There's so much to do down there as a young adult, from the park itself. Giving you access to the historic side of Dublin, to the new Bridge Park development. There's just so many things to do for that age group.
Parents, grandparents.
This one is a little bit tougher. I look at that age group as those who are typically walking with family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm going to choose Red Trebue Nature mm-hmm. Preserve
right.
that one. Also connects with Indian Run Meadows. Mm-hmm. And then further east connects with Kaufman Park and the Recreation Center. So there's this an enormous amount of opportunities for different types of scenery in one walk or bike ride.
Nice. All right. How about our four-legged friends? What about dogs?
Well, I'm going to have to say Dari because of the dog park. But I'm also going to point out the Metro Park. The Glacier Ridge Metro Park has a fantastic dog park.
Nice. It sounds like we have something for everybody here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, so what about for you, Matt? Do you have a go-to park in Dublin and why?
That's hard. I guess it depends on what mood I'm in and what I want to do, you know? I think one of the most interesting to me right now is because I, you know, it's a little bit dear to my heart in the development process, but we are in amongst the ability to have Dublin Spring, which a lot of people don't know about, down mm-hmm. in historic Dublin mm-hmm. under
just
the 161 Bridge. We're going to connect that, now that we have contiguous parkland, with trail systems to the bridge, and then from the bridge up to Veterans Park, from Veterans Park all the way to Indian Run Falls.
Wow.
Think of the cool. Think of the natural beauty and then the urban setting that you can enjoy. So I think that is one of the most dynamic situations we have.
So there are a lot of really exciting things planned for Riverside Crossing Park. Can you share some of them?
We actually have four significant phases remaining in that master plan for the park. One of those is a promenade along Riverside Drive, basically from John Shields Parkway down to the plaza. We will have river access, trail leading from the shared use path on the east side down to the river. And that'll be a really neat setting in that we're going to use natural stone, like boulders, for stairs. So it's going to be a very natural like setting where it'll take you down and access the river. And then on the west side, we're right now in the process of designing and hope to get into construction this year with the West Bank Trail system that will be below the bridge at this point and eventually down to Dublin Spring Park. And then future plans, I'm hoping not too far in the future because of the kayaking being so popular. Mm-hmm. We have another part, we have a parking lot planned on the west side that'll take you from North Riverview Street down to the water. And I'd like to install, I'm hoping to install a formal canoe livery down there and kayak livery down there, which will give people a more formal opportunity.
That is amazing. Yeah. So Matt, the nonprofit Trust for Public Land releases an annual survey of big cities with great parks, and it's based on five criteria. Dublin doesn't qualify as a big city, even though it's grown tremendously. But can we look at those criteria for Dublin just to have that perspective?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how many people live within a 10-minute walk to a park?
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know. I will tell you, it is a large percentage.
Okay.
For a city of our size, and the number of parks we have, it's going to be a large number. But the beauty of us going through the Parks and Recreation Master Plan gives us an opportunity to geographically actually study that. So we will have an answer for that question when the plan is complete.
Awesome. We'll bring you back on and get that answer.
Follow up.
What's the size and percentage of acreage dedicated to parks?
As an estimate, about 650 acres of parkland. But that doesn't include all of our right-of-ways, a lot of our reserves in some of our community developments, and our shared use paths. It doesn't include that portion of, I'd say, a park.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's about 650 acres.
Wow. How about park spending per Dublin resident?
All combined, if you take recreation services, all of our events, park maintenance, all of the things that we do, from an operating budget, it's about $350 per person.
Wow.
We operate on about a $19, $20 million operating budget. Mm.
That's impressive. Total number of playgrounds.
I love this question. We have 43 playgrounds in the city. And the reason I like to talk about this subject is that number equals about $10 million worth of an investment from the city. And when you have an investment like that, you have to really take a concerted strategic effort to make sure that you're maintaining them. So each of our playgrounds gets inspected basically once a week.
Wow.
And when they are inspected, we look for things of, you know, wear and tear, safety issues, that kind of thing. But each of those playgrounds is under a warranty for a certain period of time. And then manufacturers stop making their products after a certain period of time. So there is a replacement schedule for each of those playgrounds. And then we work with the HOAs where those playgrounds exist to make sure that whatever that playground amenity that goes in to replace it is actually meeting the needs of that current resident base. Mm-hmm. So it's a science.
Sure it is. Absolutely.
Playgrounds are a science. Who knew?
You did.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great answer.
You went to school for this.
All right, last part of the criteria. Equity and distribution of park space according to race and income.
Great question. This is actually a topic that we asked for in our Parks and Recreation Master Plan for our consultants to gauge. It is a huge topic in the profession from the National Recreation and Parks Association. It is part of our accreditation process that we have to, you know, we have to document how we're achieving our diversity. It is a very important topic for us. The city's efforts on DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, to make sure that all the citizens have the equal opportunities and services available to them.
Matt, Washington, D.C. and Arlington, Virginia are consistently top five cities for parks. And we bring that up because you spent nearly two decades working for the Northern Virginia Regional Park Authority. Now, granted, those are major metro areas with traffic, as you mentioned earlier. But what have you brought from your years there here? What can we continue to learn from that area?
The parks that this agency operates, they're considered destinations. They're not, mm-hmm. they're not something for basketball courts and things of that nature. They create facilities that are more of a regional draw. Okay. So there's three cities and three counties that, represent the board of directors for the agency. So it is quite a large area, a large number of people and certainly diverse, population. Politics in that area shift a lot, which means
don't say
it is a transient by nature resident base.
Sure.
So as administrations turn over, so does the population. So in that vein, it's just a lot different from here. We've got people that have been here since, you know, the beginning of time. the interesting part about what that agency allowed me to do and bring to Dublin, I had the opportunity to manage seven different regional parks. One of those parks was over 1,500 acres in size.
Wow.
We have 650 total here. So that gives you a little bit of an understanding of the size. So of those seven parks, I got to manage campgrounds, water parks, outdoor concert venues, golf courses, mm-hmm. Civil War battlefield, historic farm. The list goes on and on. And that opportunity or those opportunities, as expansive as they were to manage, you can imagine the breadth of experience it gives you to be able to adapt and overcome problems, challenges, and so forth. So when I came to Dublin, I feel like that gave me the background to deal with, one, the politics in the community, and as well, you know, our diverse parks and population here as well. So it gave me a well-rounded experience.
All right, Matt, Coffin Park is one of our largest and well-known parks, and we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the Dublin Irish Festival, which is coming back to Coffin Park for its 35th year. Can you give us some teasers as to what we will see here or taste this year?
Yeah, we're kind of wondering ourselves. You know, we had 1 year with no festival.
True.
But from COVID. Right. And then, you know, last year was more of a hybrid type of a situation. Mm-hmm. So we're back. This year, swing, 100%. We're full going forward with this. So,
all right, you heard it here first. We're back.
We're back.
Yes.
And we are so excited. Our events team, oh my gosh, they are so amazing. Their planning efforts and the way they put this festival together is like no other. It's just amazing. So, I mean, this year we're going to have over 535 performers.
Crazy.
Some of those from the U.S., some of those from Ireland, obviously. And then we have over 1,500 of the nation's best Saley dancers. We have storytelling, folklore, hands-on workshops. I mean, there's just so much to do. There'll be over 100 vendors there selling, you know, art and kilts and instruments and jewelry. And, you know, all of this stuff is just a fantastic experience for the entire family. And, of course, we can't forget about the food, from the traditional Irish fish and chips and then lamb stew and then a variety of the food trucks and pizza that'll be there. Make sure you come hungry because there's so much to eat. You won't go home hungry, I promise you that. So with all of that, I mean, there's so much to understand about the Irish Festival. So I encourage everybody to go to the website at DublinIrishFestival.org and then, you know, download the festival app. It has all of the maps and experiences, where they are, what time the performances are, and it'll really walk you through the whole festival.
Great tip.
So it's a 3-day festival. So what is your favorite part of the festival, time of day? What's your jam at the festival, Matt?
I have a tradition every year on Sunday. I will go to the art tent and I have a favorite artist and they're not always here.
Oh. Okay.
But I will buy a piece of Irish art and I will put it in my home somewhere.
Wow.
So every year is like a reminder of, you know, 1 year to the next.
So we have a tradition of closing out our podcast with rapid fire questions, but we are taking a different course here. So we've chosen some great quotes in history about nature and the outdoors, and we're going to ask you to identify the author. Are you up for it?
I am ready.
Okay.
I am not good at trivia. Okay. But
this
I'm
is
ready.
Good practice, though. After this, you'll be ready to take on some trivia. All right. Spring is nature's way of saying let's party. Was that Ozzy Osbourne, Queen Latifah, or Robin Williams?
When it comes to partying, my first guess on this, when it comes to partying, I'm going to go with Ozzy. But I think I can picture Robin Williams saying that.
Oh, you're right. It's definitely Mr. Williams.
Nice. There are always flowers for those who want to see them. Khloe Kardashian, Henri Matisse, or Ralph Waldo Emerson?
I have to go with Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Oh, sorry. Henri Matisse.
So close, though. I think this one you're going to get. To forget how to dig the earth and tend the soil is to forget ourselves. Was that Snoop Dogg, Gandhi, or Martha Stewart?
Were Martha and Snoop Dogg together when this that's happened? True. I mean, they're together a lot.
That's why I think we put them together in these questions.
So. That's got to be Gandhi.
It's got to be Gandhi, right? Absolutely. Yes. Good.
What TV sitcom character said, it's pointless for a human to paint scenes of nature when they can go outside and stand in it? Ron Swanson, Parks and Rec, Michael Scott, The Office, or Liz Lemon, 30 Rock?
I'm going with the theme that we're working on today, and let's go with Ron.
That's a good guess.
Complete guess. Correct.
That sounded like textbook Ron. All right, last question on that topic. What Parks and Rec character are you, Matt?
Oh, my gosh. Honestly, I don't watch that show like a lot of people
you
do.
You would right. think that but you
I,
would.
I know enough about that show not to answer this question.
Okay. Smart.
But I'm going to answer it anyway. Yeah. I think I would embarrass myself to be any of the characters, to be honest. But I'm, you know, just based on my title, only on my title, not my personality or my behavior. I'm, you know, I gotta go with Ron.
You gotta go with Ron.
Well, and you can grow a strong mustache too. So you got the beard, you can shave that down, and there's your Halloween costume.
I will tell you, my wife and I went to a Halloween costume as Ron Swanson and Leslie Knope.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah, didn't take a lot of effort.
I do have a follow-up question about equipment science. At what point did Parks and Rec professionals realize the giant silver slide was not good in the sun?
How many lawsuits?
I don't know the year
children
of
children who were injured.
But we're thankful for those folks.
Well, I mean, and think about it. Like, you know, I picture my childhood, and it was dangerous on some park equipment. So when you were talking about that earlier, I was fascinated to hear that, you know, things come and go. So what was your thing that you really loved as much as a child? And wish there was some iteration of it now.
I'm going with the jungle gym.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Those were always fun to play tag on.
Yeah.
Oh, but is it dangerous?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get tangled up in them pretty easily.
Lindsay, what about you? I mean, when you were a kid and you were on the playground, what was your thing?
Well, now I'm going back to the slides because the kids of the 70s and 80s, I mean, we had those aluminum slides that must get to about 150 degrees and, you know, people getting second degree burns. So I'm glad that those are gone now. But I liked the spinning. Oh, spinning yeah. things. I don't know what they're called. Yeah, those were fun.
I would say I have two older brothers and we would go on the teeter totters and that got dangerous.
Always. When, oh yeah. They're bumping you and you're flying off. Yeah.
When you had that weight distribution off, you were gone.
I had a tooth knocked out.
Oh.
Because I did that exact same thing.
Exactly.
My sister was on the other end and I jumped off thinking it was going to be great. No, it didn't work. It didn't turn out well.
All right. Well, I think our rapid fire and our quotes kind of went off the rails there. Yeah. But Matt, thank you so much for joining us on Link
thank
Ahead.
Thank you for letting me be here. Thanks.
And to our listeners, thank you for taking the time to connect with your city. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the many personalities and experiences that make Dublin a thriving place to live, work, and grow.